Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder of Sapphire Sanctuary, Esther Bernstein.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Jeremiah Clark. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am excited about today's show, and I'm excited about not only getting to hear our musical guest, but talking to our guest about something that she created pretty much when she was born. She either came with this or I'd like to know, because I think as I was learning more about her, I think of so many of my friends and myself included and a lot of people and our journey. And I remember, for example, I was just recently talking to a friend who's a brilliant writer. Now, I say a friend because this person is a friend. Now, this person knows that I'm a life coach, but this person has known me longer than I've been a life coach, so I'm just a friend to this person. In other words, all of my life coaching experience kind of goes out the window with this particular person because they knew me way before, and though I was a wise person that they would ask questions to, now that I actually say, you know, there's an exercise for that, or you could use this tool, they don't listen to that. And so it's interesting because one of the things I have heard this friend say is that I don't know why I can't just write. I would love to just write, but, you know, it's so hard to write. And there's so many problems and issues. And I said, well, when's the last time you've written something? Oh, gosh, it's been a long time. And I never really finished it anyway. And then I started something else and I never did anything with it. And I said, so you don't have anything published? You know, no, you know that. And I said, right. So it just seems to me that when somebody is having a hard time and they're a writer, they write. When somebody is depressed, they write. It's kind of like painters paint, musicians make music, or they sing, or whatever it is. And I've had that experience. I was always creating shows ever since I was a kid in my head. I was always either writing songs or making songs, or I was pretending to be radio host. And here we are, and watch us go, because there were other things that I was doing as a kid that I can't wait to see manifest today. So I think we've got a lot to learn from Esther when she shares with us about her story of how she came to here and to become the founder of Sapphire Sanctuary. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. And a little later on, we're going to have, again, music by Jeremiah Clark, all live here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio sitting here with Mark Lejeune.
You know, so I was smiling as I was listening to you tell those stories. There's so many of those moments coming up right now. Childhood moments and that are starting to, you know, deja vu and starting to remember dreams or aspects of who I imagined myself to be. Or, you know, I think we're all creators. And I think it's that those moments that get that we're talked out of. And so to the opportunity to go back into that creative space, and here we are today. So I'm really excited tonight. Esther is such a fabulous force for good, and what is happening there at Sapphire Sanctuary is so many levels deep. And you, being the author of the little dog that could, are the perfect person to uncover this.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited. Well, she's gone off to found the Sapphire Sanctuary, which is a horse rescue and rehabilitation sanctuary. There's also a film coming out and so much more, like Mark said, that happens at the sanctuary and that this woman does. However, she started out, as her bio would say, a horse crazy child. I would like to say a horse love child. And Filippo, by the way, means lover of horses. So welcome, Esta Bernstein, to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
What a pleasure. So you're a horse loving child.
Yes.
And where did that come from?
That actually happened from birth. From the time I could remember, I've always been fascinated with horses. And I knew deep down they offered the emotional support that I was unable to find with people.
Mm. And that's our show. I mean, if you just take that in, that seriously, so where do we go from there? I mean, how did you know this?
You know, being around people, I was never really comfortable. It was only around the animals and especially around the horses that I felt this kinship and this need to be with them and befriend them. It wasn't just a tool for me, it was a support system. So when I was 10 years old, I actually became a trail guide, and I could ride for, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and my parents didn't have to pay for it. They didn't have the resources to get me my own horse. So being a trail guide offered me the freedom, the time alone with them on the trail, so that I could, bond and see what really they were all about.
Now, a trail guide is someone who's like the lead horse, and then a bunch of people pay to be taken up in trails on other horses?
Yes.
You were 10 years old doing that?
Yes.
And everybody else was like adults?
Yes.
I got a great picture in my head. Oh, is that in the movie?
It wasn't really planned, but we could add it in.
I love that scene. Wow. Actually, we got this great picture of you on the website with this you and the horse on the beach, and it's all beautiful, and yet there's something else going on, like communication or something.
Right. Yeah, there's a conversation going on. So there's a lot of pictures that people can see on the website. But if they really look at me and the horse, they'll notice the alignment of my body with that horse and how in sync that we are. So the horses are an energetic balancer for people.
Wow.
And they really support everything that I do.
So somehow you knew this as a child. Did you ever share this with anybody?
I didn't. I knew it subconsciously, but when you're children, you can't articulate really what your emotions are and your feelings, and you're just processing and going through the motions.
You just kind of do it.
Right.
And so nobody, I'm assuming, had to tell you you should ride horses or you should be around horses if you like horses.
No, it was just something I had to do.
Did you see yourself doing something with horses growing up, and did it look like this?
It had no resemblance to this whatsoever.
Okay.
I actually grew up wanting to be a racehorse trainer. My parents had racehorses, and that's my background. So when I was in my early 20s, I had asked my father, who he knew in California, because it was too cold in Connecticut for me to do this type of work.
Mm.
I called up a friend of his, Bobby Frankel, and I had a job. So 2 weeks later, I packed up my car and drove across the country from Connecticut to go work at the racetrack. And the first track I was at was Del Mar. And I stayed with the track for a year, and it was the best education on horse care I could have ever got. I learned so many things there I didn't learn anyplace else during all my trail guide showing years. Nothing compared to the track.
Wow. And that includes, I'm assuming, injuries and...
It was injuries, grooming, nutrition, you name it. I mean, these were really high-end horses, and they got the best of care.
Since we're on the racetrack conversation, is there like a rah-rah conversation for horses, like a pep talk?
At the track? Or
yeah, I mean, like, do they know they're about to do this major race kind of thing?
Horses know exactly what they're doing at all times, just like us.
Wow.
So, we all make choices before we incarnate into our bodies of who and what we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about it is we are never given the blueprint of the outcome. So that happens along our road of choice.
Mm.
So a lot of horses are actually born into being horses, but they don't understand the ramifications of being a racehorse. There's a story I have with an animal communicator that I used and a horse that we spoke to named Lava Lady, who was born as a racehorse, and she actually contacted me. And she was in foal and didn't want her foal to be a racehorse.
Wow.
And her complaint was, and she was in a beautiful pasture, well cared for, everything was fine, but there was no emotional connection between her and the people. Mm-hmm. And she was hanging on by a thread to try to connect with somebody who understood what horses were about. And that's why she got a hold of me. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother story. But the horses at the track, I knew how checked out they were. I knew how Whoa. Emotionally distant they were. Because they're just machines.
They're a commodity.
They're money-making machines.
Yeah.
But the horses that I spent time with, every single one of them came in the money because I spent the time talking to them. They weren't a machine to me. Mm. I really spent extra hours there at the track. I was there from 3 a.m. to 5 p.m., 6 days a week.
Wow.
And just getting to know them. And the work didn't take up that amount of time, but I needed to sit in their stalls and let them know that they were loved.
Wow. And you know, I get the sense that people actually even say that around horses, or maybe even to horses, you better win this for me, or, you know, or you're good for nothing, or you're going to the glue factory, or people say things. And so what's a horse coming in to do? Up until now, what I've known horses, I feel differently about them, but what I've known people to think of horses is they're here to work.
Yeah.
That's, for us.
Yeah. They are not our beasts of burden. Mm. They're our emotional beasts of burden. So all the physical things that they've done for us, willingly.
For centuries.
For centuries. Yeah. Has been a part of the journey and the process of evolution with us. It was also that we could get to this point in time where we could actually have horses as our companions and our teachers. I mean, they're the best teachers out there. I've learned everything from my horse. And you can read all the books out there, but until you actually have the experience of being with them, because what they actually do is they mirror you constantly. So you are constantly in a check and balance of your emotions.
Oh.
And that
so if you don't know what emotion you are, get around a horse.
They will tell you.
Well, I want to know more about that when we come back. That's fascinating. Actually, it all is fascinating. And so we'll be talking more with Essa Bernstein when we come back. And again, a little later on, live music here in the studio with Jeremiah Clark, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life," and we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back having a fascinating conversation. I'm Filippo with Mark and with our guest, Esta Bernstein. And Esta alluded to something about a horse-human connection, communication, what they're really here for. Esta, could you elaborate on that?
So what they're really here for is to have us remember not who we are, but what we are.
Oh.
Because who we are is really irrelevant. It doesn't matter that I'm Esta. It doesn't matter that you're Mark. It doesn't matter that you're Felipe. It doesn't matter. It's all energy. And they know this. And they want us to get back to those feelings, that source feeling. So when you're with the horses, if you are not connected in your heart at that present moment, they won't want to be with you. In fact, they may act violently. They require us to be present, and they require us to be in a place of love.
Wow. And require, in other words, like they could buck you off or walk away or...
They'll shove you, they'll kick you, they'll push you. I mean, they'll do certain things to get your attention. But if you're in the right space, they will come over and they'll give you more love than you've ever got from anything or anyone else.
Wow. Wow. So I imagine this is either why you started the Sapphire Sanctuary or it was part of the process?
It was actually part of the process. Okay. So Sapphire Sanctuary began when I actually lost everything. So back in 2008, when I became unemployed and lost my home and lost my vehicles and went from, you know, almost six figures down to zero, I was left with three horses. But I had always wanted to start the rescue since I'd been 15. When I was 15, I saw some horse abuse firsthand that was pretty devastating. Hmm. And I knew there was something that I was being called to do that was greater than just being a horse trainer. But the racing actually had the access to the most horses for me at the time.
So it served a purpose.
It did serve a purpose. Mm. So in this losing of everything, I gained the courage to start the rescue with absolutely nothing. And it was based on just wanting to save horses and get them out of bad situations. But as I was going through the process of the organization evolving, I realized that the healing that needed to take place in these horses' bodies then transferred to their mind needing to be healed, and then it transferred to their spirit needing to be healed.
Wow.
So all this kind of was a learning process for me as well. I certainly haven't been doing this for my entire life. It's really only been over the last 5 years that the spiritual education came into play with the organization.
Well, I don't know. If you were born with this, you probably had it in a past life. And then on some level, maybe that's when you were a trainer or a writer or something. And then you came in to take it to the next level. Either that or you were a horse before. And yeah, you said, I'm the one that's going to change this.
Well, yeah, because if things need to change for humanity, it's really challenging for a horse to come into a studio and give you a conversation. So, you know, the people have to come and speak on their behalf. Mm. And that's how the change really happens.
Like the Lorax, who spoke for the trees, you speak for the horses.
Exactly.
And thank you for doing so. It's fascinating some of what's happening over there. We'll get into what you're doing with the movie and all that, but what actually happens to people that you help facilitate with horses and humans? Can you talk about that, please?
Yeah.
But first you rescue the horses,
yes.
Then you help heal them.
Yes.
And then they end up helping heal other people. That's...
Exactly. So rescued horses, because they've been through the same traumas that we have, if not worse, they're really empathetic to our needs and our plights and our emotional issues.
Oh.
So they know how to connect, and they know exactly what we're feeling. I mean, their whole biology, their whole physiology, they communicate via telepathy. You can't have a horse, you know, in a big herd on one end of a large field give a signal to the other horses at the other end of the field that there's a lion sitting in the bushes. There has to be a form of communication. So they will signal that via their energy. They will pick up on that, and that will transfer through the entire herd. So wow. They're natural empaths. So they'll pick up on exactly what we're feeling. So when people come to us to be with the horses, what they wind up finding is themselves, and they wind up finding out what blocks that maybe they didn't even know that they had. Especially if they're caught in a midlife crisis, not knowing where their life is going, a career crisis, relationships. So all that comes out when they're around the horses, even though they didn't plan on sharing those things with us. It's something that the horses magically bring out.
Wow. I love it. And do they recognize that it's the horse? Do people give credit where credit is due?
They do. Normally when I'm doing a session, I'm, you know, handling a special case, the horse will give me signals or actually tell me what's going on with the person. So I can lay out exactly what's going on in your life without you ever having to say a word to me, just based on what this horse is saying through their communication and their body language.
Wow. So the horses are human whisperers.
They are. Absolutely.
Wow. That's amazing. And you actually said earlier that you had an animal communicator share with you something. Aren't you an animal communicator? If you're not, I don't know who is.
The animal communicators that we've utilized, and I hate the word use, so I'm not going to use that word, they can actually go a lot deeper as far as past life traumas or past traumas, where I'm not always able to see that, especially when you're really in the middle of something. It's like you can help other people, but sometimes you don't know how to help yourself. So I'll rely on others to give me that information that I'm too close to see. So everybody's got their purpose, and everybody helps with those.
Wow, this sounds fascinating. And you're saying you're only like 15 minutes from the studio, so you're here in Los Angeles, and people, they can book a session with you and the horses, and
yes.
Is that how this works?
Yes.
How come I didn't know about this before?
This is awesome. That's what I said when I was out there.
SapphireSanctuary.org, and Sapphire is spelled S-A-F-F-Y-R-E. That was actually a horse's name, right?
No, it was just a funky spelling for the blue stone. I thought that up when I was a child, and there it stayed.
Oh, okay. Very cool. And here it is. From childhood to now, it's become reality. S-A-F-F-Y-R-E, sanctuary.org. And so can we talk a little bit about the film? How much of this are we going to see in the film once it comes out, or what will we see?
The film is entitled Changing Horses, and it's about how horses change people so people can change the world. And we spent 2 years traveling all over.
Perfect for life changes.
Yeah.
How perfect that you're here.
So we spent 2 years traveling the world, interviewing prominent people within the equine industry and everyday people about what horses have done for them. So it's all about their stories intertwined with my journey as well.
You know, having a horse and keeping it properly can be quite expensive.
Yes.
And so this is a twofold question. The first part is that I'm assuming you being a nonprofit organization, people can donate and should.
Yes.
And they can at SapphireSanctuary.com. And remember, S-A-F-F-Y-R-E. And the second part of that question is so there are some very wealthy people that have horses, and I'm wondering how connected some of them are because of their busy lives, or they're not known to be necessarily connected a lot of people.
And that's pretty much the case. What we're hoping to break through with this film is show these people that do have horses that there's more to their horse than they actually thought, especially people either in racing or dressage or the hunter-jumper world, where it's very competitive and the horse is really a tool for them. If it doesn't perform up to their expectations, they just trade it off and get a new one. Rather than working with the emotion of the animal and working with the partnership so that the competition becomes something you both reach for. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having your horse as your partner in these things, they love partnering with us. But if it's just them being a tool, that's when the problems usually arise and the horses get traded off. So people with money, that's who usually have horses. But that's not totally exclusive. There's horses all over the place and in programs all over the country. For underprivileged youth and things like that, we have a volunteer program where people come and they can just be with them where it doesn't cost them anything and still get the benefit of their energy.
Nice. You know, listening to you talk is bringing back so many memories, and talking about the hunter-jumper mentality or culture, I was in my previous life, this lifetime, was there, and I had bought two horses. And what was interesting is even though I was there, I didn't show them myself. And whenever I interacted with them, even though I'm not in the consciousness now in the way I relate to them, I would turn them out. I would have more fun watching them play together. And that was my joy in interacting with them. So it was like I was definitely on a path to being here in this moment now, but certainly wasn't in the consciousness that you're sharing with us today.
Yeah, and I wasn't either. You know, being in the racing industry, this certainly wasn't anything that was at the forefront of my mind that I was going to be doing. It was very competitive, and I loved that lifestyle, and it was all about, you know, the excitement of those things. But, you know, I had a lot to learn. This wasn't just, you know, me coming in and saying, oh, God, I know everything. I certainly don't, and I learn things every single day from them. I'm constantly in a check and balance mode with them. So they are really my therapists.
Wow, I certainly can relate. Mark, thank you for sharing that. And actually, thank you for mentioning the little dog that could. And, you know, actually, when I've been interviewed about the book and people that have read it, and they ask me things like, well, can you do this with humans too? And the interesting thing is as I'm listening to what you're saying about the horses, I'm thinking, wow, this could be done with humans too. And so when you said horses don't mind being partnered in something, that's like people having employees. Instead of using and abusing them, they could partner. Or mothers and fathers who treat their children, especially talented children, like commodities. And you better get this audition, or you better make this team or whatever it is. The children love being partnered, but when they start getting a sense that they're not going to be loved if they don't make this or if they don't want to do it. And the horse is the same, I gather.
Yeah. You know, in our organization, the horses are allowed to be horses. They're not, they have no expectations. We don't have any expectations of them other than we want them to be happy. And they're allowed choice. If there are certain days that they want to participate, they participate. And if they don't, we don't make them. But they're always rewarded, you know, just for being them, and just being around them is our reward.
Ah, that's beautiful. They're always rewarded just for being them. We could all use some or a lot of that, actually. We're going to talk a little bit more with Esther when we come back, but I'd like to give the website out one more time, SAFFYRE, that's sapphiresanctuary.org. And in a little bit, we'll have live music here in the studio with our musical guest, Jeremiah Clark, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Esther Bernstein. She is the founder of Sapphire Sanctuary, a horse rescue and rehabilitation sanctuary. We were talking about horses are expensive for people to maintain. They must be also very expensive for you all to maintain, and people can help support that. So we can talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We're a 100% volunteer organization, so there's no salaries paid, not even me.
Wow.
Everything goes directly to the horses and supporting the work that we do. So if you want a number about what it costs per horse per month, it's about $1,000 a month per horse.
Wow.
For us to maintain our organization. We currently have 7 horses. So anything that you'd like to help with, even a bag of carrots, is greatly appreciated.
Nice.
And, you know, we love all that help. So we don't exist without you.
And then, again, people can come have sessions, and they can also... Do they also get to see the horses that they help pay?
Absolutely. You are with the horses that you are helping. So, and you can come volunteer and be with them and hang out with them. You can have a session or not. You get to clean stalls. You get to feed. Whatever it is that you'd like to do that involves their care, we welcome that.
Well, I hope my niece is hearing that. I think we are going to have to take a visit.
It's a blast. I was out there with Jet, and we had an amazing time. I can't wait to go back.
Thanks, Mark.
And take me with you. And then the film, there's a website for the film that's changinghorsesthefilm.com, right?
Correct.
And it's not available yet.
No.
But you'll let us know.
It will be available. Hopefully it'll be completed by the fall and be released, you know, late winter, early spring next year at the latest.
Okay. And so for more information, changinghorsesthefilm.com.
Right.
What a pleasure it is to meet you and get to know you. And I look forward to getting to know you and the horses.
Thank you.
More in the future. Thank you so much, Esther, for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Esther Bernstein, what a pleasure.
Thank you, Esther.
Well,
you.
Speaking of pleasure, we all look forward to our Ask Dorothy segment. And Dorothy has joined us here in the studio. In the meantime, we also have a shout out, right, Mark?
Yeah, we got a couple of shout outs today. We definitely wanted to give Jason Zumbridge and a couple of gals and guys give back a shout out. They're doing such fantastic work, and it was through them and one of their events that that I met Esther and Sapphire Sanctuary. So please check them out at Coupla, that's Coupla, guysandgals.com. They're doing amazing work. Creating change through compassion is the driving force behind Coupla Guys and Gals Give Back. Also want to give a shout out to a friend of the Life Changes show that is quite somewhat topical in Gingy Medina and Equitz Clothing, where high fashion meets equestrian apparel. That's Equitz, EQUITES.co.uk. Okay, Dorothy, my name is Robert from Temecula, and I am missing the joy and peace I get by sharing my life with someone. Friends can take the place somewhat of a close personal relationship, but it is never enough. Since my breakup, I'm constantly looking for attention, companionship via texts, sometimes phone calls. Why am I like this? Where does this need to reach out to people stem from? Does everyone do this? And is this behavior normal?
Robert, what a great question. People need people. So yes, it's very normal. And it's normal to want to be in a close, mutually beneficial relationship. One of the reasons we choose to incarnate is to experience love and to love others. As humans, we've been programmed to search for happiness in another person. However, before you can be happy with someone, you must determine what it means for you to personally be happy. Does your career fulfill you? If you could do anything at all and not fail, would you be doing what you are doing now? Before we can share the best of who we are, we must discover what it is within us that makes our hearts smile, and then we can share this happiness with another. Too often we expect others to provide us with happiness, and happiness is truly an inside job. The important challenge here is to decide if you love you, because when we love ourselves, then it is so much easier to spend quality time alone, and it is easier to create a loving relationship. You, and only you, can truly find the happiness from the relationship you seek when you determine who you really are and what your mission and purpose is. Once you become passionate about manifesting your purpose, then you can easily draw to you like-minded individuals and share the best of you with them. This can then lead you to a mutually beneficial relationship with your divine complement. I lovingly suggest that you find a good life coach and let this person assist you in finding the answers that will change your life.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you listeners have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Yes, thank you, Dorothy. And after today's show, they can find themselves a good horse.
Yes, they can.
To talk to. And there are plenty at Sapphire Sanctuary. Okay, so with that, we'll be right back with our musical guest here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Esther Bernstein. And joining us in the studio is, well, he's a singer, he's a songwriter, and his influence, well, he's been likened to acts such as Jason Mraz and Carrie Underwood. So he's a little bit country. He's a little bit rock and roll. He is from just outside of Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome, Jeremiah Clark, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Let them hear something in your language.
Oh, my language?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I could just talk and you could possibly hear a little bit of a twang. I don't know. I don't hear it because I talk to my mama every day, so I don't hear it. But other people say, oh, you must be from the South. I said, well, maybe.
I love it. I love it. And actually, you walked in here saying something, and we were all just floored. So go ahead and share what you were planning on doing for us before you even knew what the show was about.
I had no idea what the show was about, but I'm so happy to learn that this beautiful story about the meditation and the healing process that horses can give us as animals to humans and vice versa. And I'm actually going to play for you a song about the prayer of St. Francis, which is not actually religious. It was found in the pocket of a soldier who had died in World War II. And this is St. Francis is the patron saint of animals and the love of animals. And so here we go.
So this is called?
This is called All Through the Night.
All Through the Night. Well, here is Jeremiah Clark singing All Through the Night live here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Mother, take me so that I might be an instrument of peace. Where there is hatred, and I will speak of love. Where there is injury, I'll find release. Where there is doubt, I'll keep the faith. Where there's despair, hope will remain. Where there is darkness, song I sing all through the night. Mother, take me so that I might be your instrument of peace. There is hatred, and I will sing of love. Where there is sadness, I'll bring a revelry. Where there is doubt, I'll keep the faith. Where there's despair, I will bring light. With the song I sing all through the night. May I offer more than I ask for, and I will give away love with every chance. For it is in giving that we receive. Mother, take me so that I might be your instrument of peace. Where there is darkness, I will bring light. With the song I sing, not through the night.
Jeremiah Clark. What a gift. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, beautiful.
Wow. And what a beautiful connection made here in the spirit of all that we've been sharing. JeremiahClarkMusic.com, right, is where people can learn more about you?
Yes, about the tour, the albums, and everything. Yeah.
Right. And Jeremiah is spelled J-E-R-E-M-I-A-H. So yes. JeremiahClarkMusic.com. Jeremiah, are you the only Jeremiah country singer that exists?
I hope so. That would be great for everybody, including me.
Well said. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I cornered the market on that one, which is ironic considering it's such a biblical name. Yeah.
Indeed it is. And you are one of the only out country singers there is.
Yes. A lot of people they've established careers and they've come out after. They have gotten their record label, record deals and all that stuff. But yeah, I've been out since I was, 14. I've been recording since I was 16. So yeah, I'm in it for the long haul.
Well, and I was about to say that song is actually appropriate for you because we came to know you through our friend Will Peterson, and come to find out, we also Barry Schoenfeld also knows you, and then all these people know you. And I said, well, how do you know him? And you've performed at everything and everywhere. And then I read your bio, and it says you, for the past couple years or whatever, you've been touring. You've performed over 600 shows for audiences as large as 10,000 people, and so. And some of this you've done in your car from city to city.
Yeah, I've actually performed out of the car. I had a show in Hattiesburg, Mississippi with no sound system. I rented a car, and it was one of those Nissan Cubes, and it had one of those sort of like plug in the auxiliary cord, and there was no sound system. So I opened up all the doors on the hatchback. It's like one of those weird hearse sort of thing, hatchbacks. And I actually performed out of the car.
That's great.
It was crazy.
So
it was a great show. We had a good time.
Now, and so... I asked you, why do you do this? And you said,
because I can.
Yes, that was a brilliant moment. I remember.
Because there is a place in your heart that you feel that you can positively or negatively or neutral, like affect people and affect their lives and how they function. And for me, I wanted to affect them in a positive manner. And the reason why I keep doing this is because I get to positively impact people's lives every single day with my mission and my message and my music. And what a greater gift. You know, I live in a small apartment. I don't have any money, you know, I'm broke as a joke, and that's great. And I'm happy because I get to positively affect people every single day.
I wish our listeners could see the smile and sincerity on your face.
It makes me so happy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, you come from a long line of musicians, but you also come from a long line of, is it preachers?
Yes. Yeah. My grandfather. God help us all. Save your soul.
No, well, because I feel like you're preaching through your music is why I'm getting it.
Well, I started out in Christian music when I was a teenager. And Christian music is still a really big part of my life because you only get so much to write about as a songwriter and as a person communicating a message. You get a very limited amount of things you can really talk about and sing about and play about. And so for Christian music, I really respect that you can take such a small portion of topic and make it into something amazing and to inspire people. Something that's already been said a million times, but to say it differently.
Yeah, something that's been said a million times, like the song that's played on Sirius XM radio right now that's yours, which is 10 feet tall on tequila.
Which is not necessarily Christian, yes. That would be more of the bar side of things, yes.
Okay, drink tequila.
Yes.
So you, okay, good point.
I mean, everybody has a story about tequila, right?
So you cover the spectrum, right? It's something for everybody.
The whole gamut, baby, the whole gamut.
All right, so what are we going to hear now?
You're going to hear a love song.
We are. Okay, and this is called?
History Book. It's on my album.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, let's talk about your album. Actually, you've got a couple albums, but you have one coming out. So what can we go get?
Yeah, I've got everything from love ballads to country songs to folk and Americana, you know, the far reaches. And there's a lot of the Christian undertones, which is great. But most of it's really got that little bit of a country twang, a little bit of Americana, a little bit of pop. So this is a love song. And yeah, it's called History Book.
Okay, well, here is Jeremiah Clark singing History Book live here on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
I won't let you go tonight. I'll give you reasons to hold on tight. Other than the cold, 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 we're starting now. A story will unfold, fold, fold, before too long. Let's make a history book out of a love. Oh, that explains the mysteries I can't get enough of. We'll arrange the pages from beginning to end. Nothing ever lasts a line. It's never written, it's never written, it's never written. Everything to me, and any barter would go unsuccessfully. I hear it in the way, way, way you speak my name. I see it every day, day and day. You feel the same. Let's make a history book out of a love. Oh, that explains the mysteries I can't get enough of. We'll arrange the pages from beginning to end. Nothing ever lasts a line. It's never written, it's never written, it's never written. Press a seal on the first page and write our names on the same line, the same line, coining each phrase as we age, tell a story in a logical way on a timeline. History book out of a love. Oh, that explains the mysteries I can get. No, I can't get enough of. We'll arrange the pages from beginning to end. And in no last line, it's never written, it's never written, it's never written. No, 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 no.
Well, that's History Book Live here with Jason Clark. Thank you. Sorry.
It's
Jeremiah
okay.
Clark.
Call me whatever
you
don't want.
It's the only Jeremiah in country.
Right.
I was thinking Jason Mraz.
You're genericizing. Yeah, perfect. Awesome. JeremiahClarkMusic.com. dun, dun, dun.
Say that again. Say that one more time.
JeremiahClarkMusic.com.
Well, awesome. And I was also going to say that we have that song currently on your page that we've created on our website. And it's somebody actually used it on stage with you as a proposal to their girlfriend.
Yes, it was amazing.
That's pretty cool.
A show in Pittsburgh, the girl that sang backup on my album, and her husband proposed to her. And then we played that once she said yes. We were worried she might say no.
Oh, nice.
But she totally said yes. And then we played the song afterwards and they danced to it.
And they danced until it was time for her to sing backups. And then she broke into...
I was like, you can dance, but you still have to sing, girl.
Well, that was very special. And so that's been captured and we're sharing it on our webpage for Jeremiah Clark. Jeremiah, thank you so much. Special moment to have you here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And once again, Esther Bernstein, a pleasure to have you here as well.
Thank you so much.
And what a very special show this is, and this continues to be. And let's all hang out afterwards. I feel the love wanting to happen even more here as we go. In the meantime, we got to say thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for being such a great technical director for us.
Thank you, Brent.
And thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio for being our program manager. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Lejeune, our producer, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.